This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The general sugya, it's a lovely contained sugya, but a very, very intricately constructed one. Starting from the two dots to the two dots, it's less than an omud of Gemara, it's about an omud of Gemara, is basically a sugya exploring potential cases of the Mishnah's strange comment of Ikshati b'miktsas niske, chavti b'tashlumi niske, kehekshe kol niske, kol niske. That there are situations where I am responsible for partial damage, where I was the cause of partial damage, but I'm responsible for the entire amount. That's what the Mishnah said, that there are cases where I'm responsible for the cause of partial damage, but for the payment of total damage. And this sugya scans all the potential examples of that statement and rejects all but one. Finds only one case which can actually be categorized into that statement, which is the case of a boyer that was dug down to the level to level 9, to 9 tefachim by one person, and to a 10th tefach by a second person. You'll remember there are two kinds of boyers. A boyer of 9 is capable of damaging, a boyer of 10 is capable of killing. So the 10th one converted it from a damaged boyer to a death boyer. That's what he did. That's miktas nizkur. He didn't make the boyer in its entirety. He just did that last tefach, and it was a danger. It was a mazik already at 9. If it wouldn't have been anything at 9, then the 10th tefach would have done all the damage. But since at 9 it already was a source of damage, but at 10 it became a more sophisticated source of damage. That is an example of somebody who's responsible for the cause of part of the damage and for the payment of the total damage. Why is he caused for part of the damage? Because Rashi learns strangely that the death of the animal in the 10th tefachim is caused partially by the first 9. Okay, that's the important thing to appreciate there, which we'll have to discuss when we go into it. It's not that it's caused only by the last 10. It's caused partially by the first 9. And that, together with the 10th, is what causes the damage. Really, the concept that is being discussed here is the last straw that breaks the camel's back, where the person who puts the last straw on has really only put one straw, but that's the straw that broke the back, and that's really the various different cases that we're looking at. Now, one of the most fascinating of cases from a halachic point of view that we're going to be dealing with for probably several weeks is the case of the 5 people sitting on the bench, which involves the piece of Gemara. It involves some difficult Rashi, it involves some difficult Tosfos, it involves a difficult Rambam, and it involves some Shulchan Aruch. And that's really what we're going to do. So today, at this stage, all we can do is the Gemara and the Rashi. And all I can really do this morning is alert you to what needs to be investigated and analyzed in the Rashi. The second line on Daf Yudamud Beis, Matkif lo Rav Popa. Rav Popa asked. Rav Popa came onto the attack in the search, in the quest for another example of this case. V'ho'ika, there is another example, and he quotes the following brisa. Hodasanya, we have a brisa. This is now a case of somebody who caused only part of the damage, but is responsible for all the damage. What is the case? Chamisho sheyoshvu al safsal echod. 5 people were sitting on one bench. V'loy shavru, and they didn't break it. Uvo echod v'yoshav olof. And one came along, a 6th one, and sat down as well. Ushavoru, and he broke it. The din is ho'achar en chayev. The last one has to pay for the repair of the bench. Now, interesting, just in the wording, let's just play around with a few things. Why is the case of the brisa 5 people sitting in a 6th? Why isn't it one person in a 2nd? One person sits on a chair, doesn't break it, and the second one comes along and sits down and breaks it. The first one's 4, the second one's 5. Why 5 and 6? What would you say? Why is that the case that's given? Well, it's all relative now. If it's strong for, if it's a strong bench that's strong for five, what is it different from a chair that's strong for one? To show the spread of, to spread the spread of damages. That's a possibility. Any other possibilities? Yeah, overload. I think there's an implication of overload. One person sitting on a chair is normal. The second one comes along, okay. But here there's a suggestion that it was overloaded already. I think there's a suggestion that it was over the five people sitting on the bench doesn't necessarily mean that it was a five-seater. Now that is further emphasized in the wording. And they did not break it. Meaning what? It could have broken. They didn't break it. So just from the words, before we even get involved in the sugya, it seems to me that there's a suggestion in the case that the Braisa chooses of potential overload. And then a sixth one came. He wasn't the one overloading it. It was overloaded already. Okay, but the fact is he's the one that broke it. What is the din? Ho'achron chayev. The last one's chayev. Well, that's a perfect example then. Who caused the damage if it was overloaded before he came? Did he do it all? No. It was the combined weight that did it. He was the last straw. And the Braisa says he's chayev. So there's an example. That's why the Rav Popper brings this as a perfect case of being responsible for part of the nezek, but for the full payment. The Omar Rav Popper, now Rav Popper adds an interesting thing. Kigoin Papa Bar Abba. And this fifth one was a man of the proportions of Papa Bar Abba. He was a man of exceedingly large proportions. Why does he have to add that in? What difference does it make how fat he was? That we need to analyze. Now the Gemara analyzes. Hechi Dami. What was the case? Ilema debelav iu loy itber. If we're saying that had he not joined the pack, it would never have broken pshita, then of course the last one is chayev. We don't need the Braisa to tell us that. So the implication seems to be, that's another reason why the implication is that it would have broken without him as well. If that's the case, elo, then we'll have to say debelavi unami yitper, that it was overloaded before he came along. My COVID. So what did he do? It was going to break in any case. What nezik did he cause? They caused the nezik. They overloaded it, not him. Says the Gemara, Sof Masniso Hechim Etatzer. But after all, this is a braisa. So what is the pshatak? How do we understand it? What was the case? Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzricho. So we have to establish that what it's talking about is the belav iu havi mitbe betreishoi v'hashto itbe bechadosho. Without him, it would have broken in 2 hours, or in two time units. Sure, it doesn't necessarily mean an hour. V'hashto itbe bechadosho, and now it would break in one time unit. Now again, look at the words. Based on the words, how long is shor? Or what is the correct translation of shor? Halfway through what would have been the process. And how long is that in absolute terms? Difficult to tell, isn't it? But what does seem clear is that it would have broken in two time periods. Bahashto itbechad, and it did break in one. Not now, it would have broken in one. And it did break in one. The Amri lay where he can say, where they can say to him, Ilav at, if you wouldn't have come and sat with us, Havi yasvin and tvei puta v'kaimin, we were planning to get up. That's what they claim. We knew that we were overloading it, but we weren't going to sit here until it broke. We were going to get up before it broke. What is the implication? And if they wouldn't have gotten up before it broke, would they have been chayev or potter? They would have been chayev. That's very important. So again, we see overload. They're overloading. Otherwise, why should they be chayev if they're not overloading? Why should they be chayev? What are they doing? What are they doing? Negligent, sitting on a chair and the chair breaks. That's not the fault of the person sitting on the chair. But if five people are sitting in a chair and it would have broken, they would have been chayev. But their claim is we would have gotten up before it broke. And wood has that remarkable resilience about it. Is that right, Mervyn? That it can buckle, and if you get up afterwards and let it regenerate itself, it gets back to normal, and if you don't, it can break eventually. Wood is like people. People can buckle, and then they can take a break, they can sleep, they can have a holiday, and they can get back, regenerate themselves in full, and if they don't, they can have a breakdown, they can destroy themselves. That's what natural materials, can synthetic materials also do that? Do they have that same resilience? It's an amazing quality. So they say, look, we knew that the bench was potentially breaking, we knew it was buckling, but we could have gotten up before it caused any damage, and we planned to get up before it caused any damage. You then come along and you sit down, and it broke much quicker than we thought. Well, we don't know that. So what would you say? Because if it didn't break straight away, they should still have gotten up. They should have gotten up earlier. That's what it looks like. So it appears that we've got to say that it broke as soon as he sat down. No, you can see that you're overloading, but you can get a feel that it's still okay, and that you can get it. That's their claim. We would then have to translate shoy as moments. Would have taken a little while, treshoy, a few moments to break, and now it broke b'chadashoy immediately. It's not the simple translation, but we can get away with it. V'lei maluhu, and ask the Gemara, let him say to them, ilav atun b'didila v'mitbe, but it wasn't my weight that broke it. If you weren't sitting there, it wouldn't have broken. What is his claim, and therefore what? Therefore they should have gotten up. So now we've got to go back, Trevin. We've got to say the original understanding was that it broke a little later. They come along and they said, we knew this would have broken eventually, but we had no plan of sitting here so long. We were going to get up very soon. You came along and it broke much earlier than we originally anticipated. We knew that to sit here for an hour would be okay, 2 hours, as long as we were up by then. You came along and now the time for breakage came much closer, and we didn't realize we were caught unawares and it broke before we could get up. Ask the Gemara, but they should still have gotten up. He says to them, it was our combined weight, and you should still have, when I came, you should have gotten up. That's what he's asking. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzriche, answers the Gemara, no, the Bahadi de Samich Bu'tova, the moment he leant on it, it broke. There was no time for them to get up. Yeah. No, but they say we would have gotten up. With us alone, it wouldn't have broken because we would have gotten up. That's their claim. So what's his counterclaim? V'lei malu, his counterclaim is, if it weren't for you, I couldn't have broken it alone. And therefore, okay, so then you're saying that this is a case of chilosa b'pshia v'soifa b'oines. It's true that you were caught unawares, but you shouldn't have been sitting there in the first place. That's what you're saying. And therefore you're responsible for whatever circumstance. Okay, so we have two ways of learning. Let's try the two ways again. The one way, let's start off Trevor's way of learning. Without him it would have broken in 2 hours, with him it breaks in 1 hour. The Amri Lay, their defense to him is, Ilav as have Yasvin and Tfeput of the Kaimin. If it weren't for you, we would have gotten up before it broke. So although we weren't entitled to be sitting here, we had taken responsibilities for our own actions. And we would have either paid had we broken it, or we would have gotten up before we broke it. We would have been responsible for our actions. It has nothing to do with you. But you came along and you made it break before we got up. That we're not responsible for. That you're responsible for. But it wasn't my weight that broke it. He says, why should I pay for the whole thing? It was our combined weight that broke it. And therefore, we should all pay equally. Lo tzricha, answers the Gemara, no. And now how do you want to translate this, Trevor? That as soon as he did it, it broke or not? They didn't have a chance to get up. Their claim then is onus. That's how we're going to say. That as you sat down, it broke. We couldn't get up. We didn't know it was going to break right away. You sat down and it broke. It's true, it was our combined weight. But that was an onus. That was beyond our control. Says the Gemara, in that case, pshita. Then it's obvious that they're pturim. Why should they be chayv? What did they do wrong? Answered the Gemara, ma'u d'teima koich alav kegufa dami kamash malan d'koich kegufa dami. How are you going to translate that, Trevor? I might have thought what? It doesn't say. We haven't said that yet. Where did he prevent them from getting up? So we're not translating the Bahadi the Samikbu. We translated that the Bahadi the Samikbu Tova, that the moment he leant on them, it broke. So now we're saying not necessarily. It makes no difference when it broke. The fact is, he stopped them from getting up. He leant on them. He sat on top of them. There wasn't space on the bench, so he sat on top of them. They now couldn't get up. So although it's their combined weight, he's right, and therefore theoretically, had he sat down next to them, they would all have been chayev, but he didn't sit next to them, he sat on top of them. They couldn't get up, they pturim. So the Gemara Peshitta, of course they pturim. What were they meant to do? Ma'u d'teima koich alav kegufa dami, I might have thought that koich alav kegufa, what does that mean? So why should they be potu? Why should he be potu? For the pressure on his body? Then therefore it's gromo. I might have thought this is gromo, this is indirect damage. He's sitting on the people, but it's the people's weight is breaking the bench, or partially their weight. I might have thought koicha lav kegufa, this is gromo, this is indirect damage. Kamash wulanda koicha kegufa dami. Comes to teach us, no, that koicha is kegufa, that if I throw a stone at your motor car, that's not called gromo. Right? You can say that's indirect damage. I didn't touch the car, it was the stone. That's not called groma. The cholech, the gufa tovar, koicha nami tovar. Because in as much as his body would break, so he uses koach. Your koach is as much as your body weight. And it's the same power, it's the same force which is being used, and whether you use it directly or indirectly, if you're using your strength, that's direct damage, that's not indirect damage. And that's the chiddush of the braisa. There's no other chiddush because he's sitting on top of them. So if he's sitting on top of them, of course they can't be chayev. If he's sitting on top of them, of course they can't be chayev. So what's the chiddush of the braisa is koicha kegufa. Now let's see if Rashi learns it that way too. Yeah.
The braisa itself says, I love. He sits on it. He sits alone.
Well, what we're then, that will be another explanation as why to it's five that five were sitting. Five were sitting and it was on or less. And then he sat down and the only place he could sit was on top of them. The Brisa doesn't say that, but the Gemara says that's the only way to understand the Brisa. There's no other way to understand the Brisa. You're right, that's not the simple implication of the words, but there is no other way to understand it. Now, because of shortage of time, there's really only two rashis that we need to look at. Three rashis. V'leima luhu ilav atun bedidi. And let him say to them, the Gemara said, if it weren't for you, I alone couldn't have broken it. It's our combined weight that caused the breakage. L'chud lo yavi mitzbeh. Bedidi l'chud lo yavi mitzbeh. With me alone, it would not have broken. You got that in the rashi? It's next to the first fat line of Gemara. With me alone, it would not have broken. Va'atem, and you, keshe yoshavti, when I sat down, hoyolochem lamuid, you should have stood up. Umidaloyomadatem, and since you did not stand up, but you remained seated, atem kamoni shivatim, you broke it like I did. So there should be joint responsibility. That's his claim. Which is the way we learned it, that's fine. Answers the Gemara Leitzrich. The Bahadi, the Somich Olayhu? Why not? No, we're not there yet. Answer the Gemara Lo Tzricha, the Bahadi, the Somich Olayhu, explains Rashi. Lo Oilom, the Belav, Iu, Lo Yavimit, Klal. What we're really talking about is a case where without him, it would not have broken at all. You see what Rashi is doing here? He's saying the Lo Tzricha is a reversal, we're going back. Which is not the way we learned. Without him, it wouldn't have broken at all. So they really are totally irresponsible. They have no responsibility for it at all. So what is the question on that going to be then? Shiteh, as we asked right at the beginning. Obvious. Udukamris, Shiteh. Ah, you'll say, but that's clear. Of course, if they're not responsible, he's responsible. Loitzricheh de lo yoshev olov elo omad al raglov. He didn't even sit on the bench. He stood. The nismach aleim, and he pressed on them. Teaching us that kochek gufa. It's not a case of him sitting on the bench at all. Had he sat on the bench, of course he would have been chayv. We don't need the brisa for that. And had they been heavy, had they been overloading the bench, then what would have been the case? Then they would have been chayv. Had it been in a way where it would have broken in 2 hours and now it breaks in 1 hour, who would have been chayv? How does Rashi learn? They would all have been chayav. Those are the three cases. And we don't need the brisa for that. If he alone broke it and they were not responsible, then he alone is chayav. If they alone would have broken it, then they are chayav. If they would have broken it in 2 hours and planned to get up and now he broke it in 1 hour, then they're all chayav. So what is the case where only he is chayav and yet there's a chidush where he was standing on his feet and pressing down on them? Okay. Now he's chayav. So why is he chayav in such a case? The Namukha Yosef says very beautifully, it's as if he uses them like you use an axe. It's true you're using their weight. When you use an axe, you're using the axe's weight too. But it's the human being who is responsible for it. Okay, that's Kocha Kegufa. And here too, he's using their weight, pressing down using the combined pressure of himself and their weight. But although he's using their weight, it doesn't attribute to them. He can no longer say, without me alone, I couldn't have broken it alone. I don't have the strength to break the bench. It was your weight too. But who used their weight? He used their weight like he would have used a rock. That's what he did. Now, does it make any difference if they could have gotten up or they couldn't have gotten up? Right. So now we have another problem. Kirche is fine when you're using an axe or a stone. It's an inanimate object without bechira, and it's used by the person. But if I come along and I say, you know what, who's nice and sturdy, Yehuda, I say, look, you see that man that is an old fellow who's walking down that flight of steps. We're going to walk down. As we pass him, I'm going to push you against him, and he'll fall. And then we'll go, and that's groma. For me, this is groma. And we won't be chayav and off we'll go. And Yehuda says, yeah, that will be fun. Let's go ahead. And we plan and we do it. Is that koche? Is that koche for me? Is that koche kegufa or is that groma? You cause it, not me. With your consent. So you were no less, you used my force. It's not that I used your body. So that's what Roy is saying. When you're dealing with human beings, you can't just treat it the same as stones. Therefore, Rashi has to come on into the next Rashi and say, Somach behu. Rashi has an added girsa. The Bahadi de Somach alayu Somach behu. That while he was leaning on them, he leant over them. He leant them down. Nismach aleim velo yachlu lamid. He leant over them in a way that they were unable to stand up. Because if they were able to stand up, they become accomplices. It's only because they were unable to stand up that they become stones. Now we understand why he's a fat man. Now we understand exactly. Because if he was a thin man, like five people could have pushed him off. And they would have had to push him off. That's why Rav Popper says the only way you can understand this is that they couldn't get him off. He was too heavy for them. That's how Rashi learns it. So the Gemara is retracting, going back to saying, really, we're talking in a case where it wouldn't have broken without him. It wouldn't have broken without him. He did it all. Hi, pshita, but he wasn't even sitting down. He was standing on his 2 feet. So why is he chayav? Kocha kegufa. But they could have gotten up. No, they couldn't. He was a papa baraba. That's the way Rashi constructs the sugya. Now, what we're going to do, Mirat Hashem, next Sunday is the following. We're going to analyze. What we really need to do is analyze why Rashi has to retract. Okay, that's what we need to get to. Why does Rashi have to say lo tzricha? In order to appreciate that, I think what you should do in your spare time is look at the Nemuki Yosef, which you'll now find easy, but learn through it carefully. And you'll find that the Nemuki Yosef learns the same as Rashi, except he doesn't retract. He says right through it's talking where it would have broken in 2 hours and now it breaks in 1 hour. So he learns exactly like Rashi, except for that one thing. So, which will strengthen the question in your mind, why does Rashi have to retract? Why does Rashi have to say, Lo tzricha lo oilom de belavi yulo yamit beklal? There's something bothering Rashi. That's what we need to deal with. The Nemuki Yosef will highlight that for you. You'll see in the Nemuki Yosef that he learns like Rashi and he doesn't need to retract. So we'll have to figure out what forces Rashi to retract. In order to do that, we need to know the Tosfos. And there's a piece of Lechem Mishnah that we're going to have to do. But I don't know if we'll get as far as that on Sunday. Depends whether you've done the Tosfos by then. I don't know if you would have done the Tosfos by then.
Shouldn't we then tell Rabbi Lemon to do all these sources with us? Instead of him going further in the Gemara, which just takes us further away.
He's not going to go further. He's got to do this still. He's got to do. You're going to start from the previous two dots, so you've actually got a bit of catching up to do. And I think we'll spend at least two more Sundays on the Safsal alone. So I don't think it matters. What I'm suggesting is he'll go at his own. He'll now start at the two dots and do the Gemara and the Rashi, and you'll come to the Safsal and the Tosfos. But by next Sunday, you might not yet have done the Tosfos with Rabbi Lemon. So what I'm saying is it might be necessary for you to prepare a little bit ahead even of Rabbi Lemon, which will do you good when Rabbi Lemon gets there in any case. So by next Sunday, I would like it if by next Sunday, apart from doing whatever Rabbi Lemon's done with you, you have done as well the Nemuki Yosef and the Tosfos. So that we can then start working on those sources for next Sunday. The Nemuki Yosef you'll find easy. The Tosfos is also easy. I said it's a difficult Tosfos. It's difficult when you start working on it. But just to go through it, read and translate it, and understand what Tosfos says is very straightforward. There are two views. There's the Machlokes and Tosfos. There's Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. There's Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. And it's very straightforward on the surface. We'll start working with the material in Mitzvah Hashem next Sunday, but by then you need to know the material. Okay.